I want you to think for a second about the terrifying cybersecurity headlines you see almost every single day.
Yeah, it feels like it's constantly in the news, right?
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about massive world-shaking events here. 147 million records exposed at Equifax. Or, you know, ransomware completely paralyzing entire government infrastructures.
Right. The scale of it is just, it's staggering.
It really is. And when you read those reports, this massive paradox sort of starts to form in your head. You think, aren't these global banking infrastructures built with, like, ultra-secure, highly guarded custom code?
You would certainly hope so.
Right. Don't they have multi-million dollar hardware firewalls and astronomical cybersecurity budgets? Why do these massive digital fortresses just collapse so spectacularly?
It's a fantastic question. And, well, then you have to look at the flip side of that exact same paradox.
Which is what?
Why are tens of thousands of simple WordPress websites obliterated daily by, like, amateur hacker bots, while tech titans like Amazon and Netflix can handle the absolute chaos of Black Friday traffic?
Oh, yeah, where millions of people are hitting their servers at the exact same second.
Exactly. And they do it without a single leak or, you know, even a millisecond of downtime.
It just doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
And that really is our mission for this deep dive.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into this one.
Same here. We are pulling from a really fascinating architectural security autopsy from the Token Masterclass. Mm-hmm. It's this breakdown that completely tears down the server walls to show us what is really happening inside these systems.
It's very revealing, honestly.
Okay, let's unpack this. To understand why systems fail so catastrophically, we really have to look past the superficial firewalls, right? We have to peer directly into the core of how the software is actually built.
Right, because ultimately you have to ask yourself, are you dealing with a decaying paper house, or are you looking at a titanium fortress?
That's a great way to put it.
Because the underlying architecture, it dictates your fate long before a hacker ever even targets you.
So it's basically decided from day one.
Pretty much. And to really understand this, we have to start by defining what we mean by a monolithic structure. And the best way to understand a monolith is to look at the most common web architecture in the entire world.
Which is WordPress.
Exactly, WordPress.
Which powers something crazy, like 40% of the entire internet.
It is completely ubiquitous, but at its core, WordPress is a monolithic content management system.
Okay, what does that actually mean for the everyday user?
What that means in plain English is that the front end, which is, you know, the visuals you see on your screen, the back end logic that runs the site, and the database that stores all the information, they are all inextricably intertwined.
Tangled up together?
Yes. They sit completely tangled together on a single shared server. Imagine a house where there are no interior walls at all.
Wow. Okay.
The kitchen, the bedroom, the bathroom, the safe, with all your valuables, it's all just sitting out in one giant room.
Which, you know, to be fair to WordPress, is exceptionally efficient if you just want to run a simple personal blog, right? Like, you don't need a complex mansion for a daily diary.
Exactly. It's perfect for a hobbyist. It was fundamentally designed to be simple. But the catastrophe begins when businesses place unrealistic, enterprise-level demands on that simple architecture.
They try to force it to be something it's not.
Right. They try to mutate this basic blogging platform into a complex e-commerce storefront, or like a patient appointment booking system, or a secure corporate intranet.
And the way they do that generally is by downloading plugins.
Aggressively downloading dozens of third-party plugins.
Mm-hmm.
Want a shopping cart? Install a plugin. You want a contact form? Install a plugin. But here is the massive problem with that. You possess zero control over the quality of that third-party code.
Because anyone can write a plugin, right?
Exactly. There is absolutely no centralized security standard governing the anonymous developers who write these things.
The analogy I keep thinking of here is like Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you are essentially sewing together the body parts of different corpses from unknown developers all over the world, all with vastly differing skill levels. And you're just hoping the monster can, you know, reliably run your business.
It's a very apt comparison. And because of that monolithic structure, because everything is sitting in that one giant room without walls, if just one of those 20 plugins contains a trivial vulnerability, well, disaster strikes the entire system.
Wait, I'm stuck in the jump from broken plugin to owning the business. Let me push back on that a bit.
Sure.
How does messing with a first name, last name text box on a simple contact form give a hacker the keys to an entire operating system? Like, is it really that fragile?
That is the inherent fatal flaw of the shared server environment. Let's walk through the actual mechanism.
Okay, lay it out for me.
Let's say that free contact form plugin you downloaded was written by an amateur developer, and it fails to sanitize user input.
Sanitize user input, meaning what?
That means it doesn't strictly filter what you are allowed to type into the box. A hacker realizes this, and because that contact form needs to talk to the database to save your message, and because in a monolith, the database is just one giant shared bucket.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The hacker doesn't type a friendly message. They type a database command right into the first name box.
Oh, I see. So they are talking directly to the brain of the website.
Precisely. The database stores the contact messages, sure, but that exact same database bucket also stores the administrator usernames and passwords for the entire website.
Because there are no interior walls.
Exactly. Because there are no interior walls separating the contact form from the core security files, the hacker uses the form to ask the database for the master passwords.
And the database just hands them over.
It just hands them over. Instantly, the hacker gains root access to your entire server, complete control. They compromise the core, your customer list, and the underlying operating system.
So by leaving the front screen door unlocked, they automatically have access to the safe in the bedroom.
Yes, that's exactly it.
That makes total sense. But couldn't a business just stay on top of their updates? I mean, if they patch the plugins constantly, they're safe.
You'd think so, but it's actually an operational nightmare for system administrators. They are trapped in this vicious cycle.
How so?
Let's say a critical plugin requires a patch. The administrator clicks update with, like, trembling hands.
Trembling hands. Why?
Because there is a very high probability that the new code in plugin A will unexpectedly conflict with the old code in plugin B.
Oh, right. The Frankenstein monster effect.
Exactly. And because they are entangled in that monolithic structure, minor conflict doesn't just break the one plugin. It crashes the entire site.
Oh, wow.
You get the dreaded white screen of death. Your business is completely offline just because you tried to be secure.
Wow. That is the ultimate catch-22. If you click update, you might take down your own company's website. But if you don't update...
If you refuse to update out of fear, you are leaving known published vulnerabilities out in the open.
Sitting ducks.
Right. The very next day, your site will inevitably be exploited by automated hacker bots that just constantly scan the web looking for that exact outdated version of the contact form.
It sounds like an endless, vicious cycle of stress.
It really is. And people think buying premium security plugins acts as a shield, but they are merely a band-aid. They can't fix the fundamentally vulnerable architecture.
Okay. So WordPress is a fragile monolith, but obviously, massive global financial institutions avoid this trap. I mean, they aren't running the global economy on a bunch of unvetted downloaded plugins.
No, they certainly aren't using plugins.
Right. They use highly guarded custom written code.
Yeah.
But what's truly terrifying from the source material is the realization that they suffer from the exact same monolithic flaw.
Yes.
They're making the exact same architectural mistake, just on a much older, much larger scale.
Yes. This brings us to the phenomenon known as the legacy system. We are talking about architectures whose foundational technology is entirely obsolete.
Like, how old are we talking here?
The core operational systems in many major U.S. banks were written 20, sometimes 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah. They are running on archaic programming languages like Java EE or COBOL, that are basically ancient history in tech years.
And these are also monolithic, like just one giant room with no walls.
Completely monolithic. But instead of third-party plugins from random developers, they consist of tens of millions of lines of custom code.
Millions of lines.
Yes. Code that has been blindly patched, modified, and hotfixed by hundreds of different programmers over the past two decades.
Wow.
And here's the kicker. Many of those original programmers retired years ago. And they left behind absolutely zero accurate documentation about how the core actually works.
I think the term for this in the industry is spaghetti code, right?
Yes, perfectly named.
Strands of logic so deeply entangled they resemble a giant plate of pasta.
Yeah.
If you pull on one noodle, a meatball falls off the other side of the plate, and literally nobody knows why.
What's fascinating here is the fear-driven development cycle that this creates within these organizations.
Okay, break that down for me.
So it's essentially a giant high-stakes game of Jenga where no one remembers who pulled the last block.
That sounds terrifying.
It is. If a bank executive demands a simple new feature today, say a mobile payment gateway, the engineering team is utterly terrified.
Because they have to touch the Jenga tower.
Exactly. If they alter the deeply buried core code to add that payment gateway, they might accidentally crash the check clearing subroutine.
So how on earth do they add it without toppling the whole tower?
Well, instead of elegantly integrating it, they forcefully jam the new logic onto the side of the old system using these really risky workarounds. They write a script that essentially tricks the old system into talking to the new system.
Basically just taping another block onto the side of the Jenga tower and praying a strong breeze doesn't knock it over.
That's exactly what it is. And the accumulation of these forced hotfixes over decades creates a massive burden known as technical debt.
Okay, technical debt.
Yeah. These banking systems project this imposing facade. They are protected by incredibly expensive hardware firewalls on the perimeter, but their internal logic is thoroughly rotted and brittle.
So how do hackers exploit that?
Elite hackers don't try to bash down the perimeter firewall. They look for the structural cracks. They specifically target the logical gaps between these forced patches to infiltrate the network.
Which brings us right back to Equifax.
Yes. The Equifax disaster is the absolute textbook example of this mechanism in action. It was a systematic infiltration through an unpatched vulnerability in an outdated monolithic framework.
Wait, let's break that down because I really want to understand the how here.
Sure.
How does a flaw in one part of Equifax lead to 147 million Social Security numbers getting stolen?
It goes right back to that house without interior walls.
Okay.
The initial flaw was in a web portal, the part of the system designed to handle consumer disputes. It was a known bug in a framework called Apache Struts.
Okay, so that's the front door.
Right. The hackers found that crack and squeezed through the front door. But because the system was a monolith, once they were inside the consumer dispute portal, there were no internal firewalls stopping them from walking down the digital hallway straight into the core credit reporting databases.
Wow.
The architecture fundamentally lacked internal containment.
That is deeply unsettling. I mean, think about the last time you refreshed your banking app and it just hung there spinning, taking forever to load your balance.
Yeah, we've all been there.
You weren't just waiting on a bad cell signal. You are likely waiting on a 20-year-old piece of tangled spaghetti code, trying not to collapse under the weight of a million other people doing the exact same thing.
And patching those legacy systems, the testing phase alone takes months.
Months, just for a patch.
Easily. Deploying new code usually requires taking the bank's servers completely offline at like 2 a.m. on a Sunday just to minimize the blast radius if the update fails.
That sounds like a completely reactive, panicked way of operating.
It is hell for a software engineer, but it really doesn't have to be this way.
Right. Because if both WordPress and legacy banking systems are structurally doomed by their monolithic nature, we have to ask how companies like Amazon and Netflix survive.
Exactly.
They have tens of millions of concurrent users during events like Prime Day. They face relentless, sophisticated cyber assaults every single hour. Yet they experience zero downtime and zero data leakage.
It's incredible.
So the answer to the paradox, according to the source material, is destroying the monolith.
The secret to their unparalleled stability lies in two foundational concepts: microservices architecture and serverless technology. Let's look at microservices first.
Okay.
It's a strategy of divide and conquer. Instead of a single monolithic giant, the system is shattered into dozens, sometimes hundreds, of tiny, completely independent modules.
Each module has one specific job.
Strictly one job. It's called the single responsibility principle. So within Amazon, the product search service is its own isolated ecosystem. It has its own dedicated code and its own specific database.
Okay, making sense so far.
The shopping cart service is a completely separate ecosystem with its own database. And the payment gateway is yet another isolated vault entirely.
Okay, so they aren't sharing a server or a single giant bucket database like WordPress. But how do they actually talk to each other to make the website work? And how does that stop a hacker?
The key word here is containment. These individual microservices possess absolutely no direct access to each other.
None at all.
None. The search database cannot physically look inside the payment database. Instead, they communicate exclusively through heavily guarded checkpoints called application programming interfaces, or APIs.
Okay, APIs.
Think of an API like a bank teller sitting behind bulletproof glass.
Oh, I like that visual.
Right. The search service can hand a request through the slot to the payment service, but it absolutely cannot walk behind the glass.
So if a hacker somehow manages to find a crack and breaches the user review's microservice.
They are trapped in the review section.
Ooh.
Their access is contained entirely within that specific module. They absolutely cannot pivot from the reviews to infiltrate the main payment database because the physical and logical duals simply do not exist.
But this is the exact antithesis of the monolithic structure, where compromising a simple plugin crashes the entire server and exposes everything.
Exactly.
That is brilliant. It's like building the interior walls out of titanium. But here's where it gets really interesting to me. The analysis takes it even further with serverless and headless architecture.
Oh, yeah. This is the bleeding edge.
The concept here is literally removing the target, taking away the very thing hackers aim to attack.
Yes, it is completely redefining the traditional concept of a server. In a serverless architecture, the front end, which is the user interface you actually click on and interact with, is completely severed from the back end processing.
Okay, so they are divorced from each other.
Completely. Instead of having a live server constantly running and waiting to build the web page for you every time you click, the system pre-renders the entire website as static files.
What does that mean, practically? Like, for the user?
It's like printing a million identical photographs of a storefront and taping them up all over the world. When a customer visits the site, they are just being handed a photograph.
Just a picture.
Right. The back-end logic and the actual database are locked away in completely invisible, highly protected layer managed by cloud providers. Those providers execute processing code only for the exact millisecond a request is made and then instantly terminate the process.
Wait, hold on. If they're just looking at a picture and there is no actual server sitting there waiting for them, what are the hackers even attacking? Are they just punching a static HTML hologram?
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. Yes, they are attacking a static HTML file. There is no processing engine running, and there is no database residing at that edge location for them to hack.
So the attack surface is gone.
The attack surface is reduced to near absolute zero.
So earlier we talked about SQL injection. You know, the hackers tricking the WordPress contact form to spit out admin passwords. How does serverless handle that?
It makes it literally impossible.
Literally impossible.
Yes. And SQL injection relies on tricking a live database through a direct connection. But if the form you are attacking is just a static picture, a hologram, and the database is completely severed and hidden away in a vault that only wakes up for a millisecond, the injection just bounces off.
Because there's nothing to inject it into.
Exactly. You can't trick a teller into opening the vault if there is no teller, and there is no vault door on the street.
It's like trying to rob a bank by yelling at a billboard. There's just nothing there to grab.
Exactly. And the performance benchmarks for this are just unforgiving.
Let's hear them.
Under stress tests simulating 10,000 concurrent users, a standard WordPress monolith completely crashes.
Predictable.
A legacy bank's massive physical server cluster suffers severe latency, taking over 10 seconds just to load a page. But the serverless microservice architecture? It auto-scales instantly and maintains sub-200 millisecond response times.
Unbelievable.
It is also an absolute utopia for the developers. Because the services are completely decoupled, the team responsible for the search module can deploy brand new code live right in the middle of Black Friday user traffic.
Without taking the site down.
Without taking anything down. Meanwhile, the team managing the payment service doesn't even need to know what's happening. Everything operates independently, there are no conflicts, and the end users experience zero disruption.
Okay, so we have firmly established that modern microservices and serverless architectures are impregnable titanium fortresses.
Undoubtedly.
And monolithic systems, whether it's a cheap WordPress site or a billion-dollar legacy bank, are basically decaying paper houses.
Right.
So what does this all mean? And the obvious screaming question is, why doesn't every single organization migrate immediately? I mean, if the benchmarks are this clear, why are we still trusting our money to paper houses?
You might think the barrier is technological or maybe financial, but the true barrier is fundamentally psychological.
Psychological, really?
Yeah. It is management's paralyzing fear of risk. Migrating multi-terabyte databases while maintaining strict transactional integrity carries the immense risk of downtime.
I see. Because you are essentially trying to replace the engine of an airplane while it's currently flying at 30,000 feet.
Precisely. And for a global bank, even 10 minutes of downtime is a catastrophic headline-making event.
Heads would roll.
Exactly. Rewriting decades of deeply embedded business logic from scratch requires massive capital. And there is also the profound fear of unforeseen bugs.
Like what?
If a brand new microservice miscalculates interest rates by a fraction of a percent during the early adoption phase, it instantly destroys consumer trust. Plus, you have massive staff resistance.
Oh, right. People hate change.
People who have memorized the quirks of a specific legacy terminal for 20 years do not want to learn an entirely new digital interface.
So executives look at the costs, the potential for downtime, the training requirements, and they just freeze.
They freeze, and they choose the path of least immediate resistance. Senior executives generally prefer to temporarily patch the decaying systems rather than accept the immense personal liability of potential system crash during their tenure.
So they just kick the can down the road.
Exactly. They're effectively passing a ticking time bomb to their successors.
But the reality is, not migrating is a guarantee of failure. The technical debt explodes, maintenance costs skyrocket, and a catastrophic hack becomes not a matter of if, but when.
Yes.
And there's another massive vulnerability here that completely bypasses the entire architecture debate. Hackers are pragmatic, right?
Highly pragmatic.
If a bank does manage to build a formidable titanium fortress, hackers don't waste time trying to break down the titanium wall. They look for the side door. Which brings us to supply chain attacks.
Yes, this is huge. Major organizations rarely operate in a vacuum. They frequently contract third-party vendors for things like HR management, bulk SMS marketing, or heating and cooling support.
Right.
And the security posture of those smaller vendors is often terrible. Sometimes they are running their business on, well, you guessed it, a vulnerable WordPress monolith.
That's exactly what happened with the infamous Target breach, right? Hackers didn't attack Target's main servers directly. They got in through a compromised HVAC vendor. The air conditioning company was the weak link.
Exactly. The hackers compromised the vendor's highly vulnerable software. Then, utilizing the vendor's authorized access, you know, their official VPNs and network credentials, the hackers just unlocked the side door and walked straight into the heart of the corporate network.
Wow.
You can have a perfect microservice architecture, but if you give the keys to a vendor with a paper house, you are compromised.
And beyond third-party vendors, the most potent weapon is still social engineering.
Oh, absolutely.
An advanced spear phishing email, perfectly tailored to trick an employee. A malicious Excel file disguised as a Q3 earnings report. Or a stressed C-level executive using the same simplistic password for their corporate login that they use for their personal Netflix account.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reminds us that cybersecurity is an interconnected chain. The absolute strength of that chain is exactly equal to the resistance of its weakest link.
And the weakest link is always the human.
Overwhelmingly, that weakest link is human nature. Now, that doesn't excuse poor architecture. Remaining on a vulnerable monolithic system guarantees a breach. You are mathematically destined to fail due to entanglement.
Right.
Migrating to modern architecture is the absolute baseline requirement for corporate survival. But even after you migrate, managing human error, access, and authorization remains the ultimate vulnerability.
It's an incredibly sobering reality to unpack. I mean, think back to where we started, the paradox of Equifax falling while Amazon thrives. It's not about the size of the cybersecurity budget. It's about the fundamental structure of the house. The data we all care about, our home addresses, our credit card numbers, our most sensitive personal information, it's currently sitting in these decaying monolithic paper houses across the banking sector. If you run a business, choosing cheap legacy tech over modern serverless architecture isn't just a tech preference anymore. It's practically corporate negligence.
It really is a gamble they will lose in the long run. The future truly belongs to systems that are decoupled and agile.
And this leaves us with a truly chilling final thought to mull over. We've established that migrating is the prerequisite for surviving the next generation of cyber warfare. But if AI is rapidly becoming capable of perfectly mimicking human behavior through highly personalized, indistinguishable social engineering.
Yeah, the deepfakes and the voice cloning.
Exactly. And if that same AI can simultaneously analyze millions of lines of legacy spaghetti code in a matter of seconds to find microscopic logical gaps.
It's a scary thought.
Will the cyber warfare of the future bypass the architecture entirely? Will the next great hack not target servers or static HTML files at all, but psychologically manipulate the human developers before the code is even written?
That is the frontier we are rapidly approaching. It forces us to question not just how we build our digital fortresses, but who we are trusting to hold the keys and how we verify they are who they really say they are.
It's a murky landscape where technical debt, legacy entanglement, and human error constantly blur the lines of security. But understanding the fundamental mechanism, you know, the difference between those decaying monolithic paper houses and the modern decoupled titanium fortresses is exactly the clarity we need to navigate whatever comes next. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me.